Jake, how many of you glad to be here today? What a beautiful worship service we had. I praise God for Tara. It's my prayer today that God touches every one of you, and that when you leave here, God's word has touched your heart. That's the intention, isn't it? When we come to meet with God, right? We come to hear from God, right? We don't want to hear how great a speaker is or how bad the speaker might be, but we want to hear what God wants to say to us, right? Thank you, Angelina, for being obedient to the Spirit of God, for the message that God wants His people to hear. I believe that we are going to see great things in the days ahead. How many of you believe that? I know we might see terrible things, but I know that God's people are going to rise to the occasion through the Spirit of God within us. And we're going to see things that we have not seen before in our generation. I'm seeing them now. I'm watching the very word of God come alive before my eyes. We're seeing things happening in the world today that I would have never thought that I would live to see. But we are living not in fearful times, meaning that we need to fear as a church, but we're living in great times where God is going to do great things through His church, as He has told us. His word tells us we've already won. We're already the victors, right? We've already conquered. No matter what comes our way, we have the Spirit of God living within us. So today, I know Gary, you guys don't have it working yet, right? It's not working at all? Okay. I wasn't in here when Gary was giving the announcement, so I was going to do, I had a presentation, had a video. I wanted to honor our veterans today. I don't think Gary did that, as far as I know. I wasn't in here. But if you are a veteran, I would ask you to please stand. Please stand. Any branch of the military, please stand. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you from the Americans. Thank you from this church for what you have done for this nation. It is because of you that we and that I stand here today, that you are here today, that we can worship the Lord in freedom, that we have freedom of speech, that we have freedom to vote, that we have freedom to live the way we want to live. And we can enjoy all the freedoms that I can't come up with at this time. But thank you that you laid your life down on the line for me. You see, as the bulletin was telling us, greater love hath no man than that he would lay his life down for his friends. Every one of you laid your life down for me and for my children and for my family. And for that, I'm grateful and I'm ever thankful and indebted to you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I pray that this weekend, as they celebrated our veterans, that you were celebrated well. I know some of the restaurants in town were giving free dinners. How many of you got to go get a free dinner? How many of you veterans got to do? Yeah? Yeah? That's good. There's one that's sitting on the front row this morning. He shocked me today. You see, he's supposed to be in Williamsburg right now. And he told me that he was going to be there all weekend. And that's why I'm here with you all today. Ron's not here. Brother Ben's not here. Brother Ben's in another church. And this veteran here on the front row was away for the weekend. And I said, well, I'm going to tell him what you're doing. I'm going to tell them all that food you're eating down there. It's supposed to be on a diet. I'm sure it was. Captain George's. How many of you are familiar with Captain George's? Well, they, this Monday, are going to be giving away free meals to all veterans. Yeah. I would like to be down there myself, huh? Yeah, Golden Corral. But I told him that I was going to tell on him today, and he told me when he met me out in the hallway, I had no idea he was here. And I said, when I saw him, he said, I came just because you told me you were going to talk about me. He was scared about what I was going to say about him. Well, the message today God laid on my heart about 2 weeks ago. And to tell you the truth, I was not even thinking about Veterans Day at all when God put this message on my heart. I was just in the middle of doing my devotions, my daily devotions with the Lord, and He put this word upon my heart. And the more I prayed, the more He would give. And I would even get up from prayer, and I'd go get dressed to go to work, and the Lord just continued to talk. And the message today is about serving. How fitting, huh? That this weekend is about our veterans and how they have served for us. And then the Lord lays this message upon my heart. So I hope that the Lord speaks to you today. In fact, I know that He will, because there's somebody here that needs to hear it. Amen. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 13. We'll begin there. John chapter 13. We'll start in verse 1. Let me pray before we begin. My Heavenly Father, I stand before Your people today, God, with the word that You have laid upon my heart. I ask You to help me to deliver it the way You have given it to me, Father, that I may preach Your word, God, boldly and fearlessly and proclaim Your truth, God, and divide it correctly, Father. Father, that Your word would take root in the hearts of Your people that are here and that it would minister. I ask You now for the help and the power and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit, God. In Jesus' name I ask these favors. Amen. John chapter 13, 1 through 5. How many of you know serving equals greatness? Serving equals greatness. That goes against the tides of today, doesn't it? It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. Key verse here is verse 4. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around Him. Look at verse 12. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You know, the key verse that got me when I read this message, it was, so He knew who He was. He knew God had put all things under Him, and that He was returning to His Father. You see, Jesus knew exactly who He was. He knew He had power. He knew He was the Son of God, and He was going to return to Him. And then the scripture says, so He got up. So He got up from the meal, and He took off His outer clothing and wrapped a towel around Him to go and wash the disciples' feet. Can you just imagine the scene here with me for just a moment? The looks on the faces of the disciples as Jesus got up from the table and He towels up, so to speak. I mean, what in the world is Jesus doing here? Right? They must have been thinking, He's supposed to take over and rule. No king I know would do such a thing. This job belongs to that servant over there, not my Lord. And don't forget that earlier, if you read back in Luke the account, they were actually also arguing over who was going to be the greatest in his kingdom. But Jesus himself humbled himself and took the role of a servant. The King of Glory took a role of the servant. He began to wash the feet of his disciples, knowing exactly who he was. And Peter, oh my goodness, how many of you can identify with Peter? I can so identify with Peter. Sometimes just open my mouth and insert foot. But bold and brazen at times, right? Yes. I can see Peter now watching Jesus as he's washing their feet, fixing to come his way, fixing to wash his feet. Then the Lord gets to him. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Really? What is this? I thought you were a king. I thought you were the one who was going to take over the Roman government and you were going to free Israel. How can you be doing this? This is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're a leader. But Peter didn't understand, and neither did the others, that though Jesus being God in the flesh himself was teaching them how to serve one another, and he showed them how to do it in all humility, and that this was the way to greatness in God's kingdom. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? You want to do great things for God? The Lord is teaching us here we are to serve one another. Now, let us not forget that Jesus is Lord and Master. We can't forget that, that he is the King of Kings and he is God Almighty. And yet he tells us, if you want to go there, Mark chapter 10, 45, you can even write it down. He tells us here, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Gosh, when I read that verse, I mean, I think about what God did. I think about how he left heaven and what he left to come and save a wretched sinner as I. In the kingdom of God, we are all leaders. Do you understand that every one of you here is a leader? Every one of you. In some way, some fashion, some form, you are a leader to others. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's here at the church. Maybe it's on your job. Or maybe it's in a sports arena somewhere. Somewhere, some way, somehow, somebody is following you. You are leading someone. And Jesus, and we have been just been given the standard or the example of how to lead here, of how to be a good leader. Jesus is our leader. He is our role model. We are learning from him how to serve and how to be great. He is the standard, not another man. When we look at man, we will fall. We always do. Do not ever put a man on a pedestal, because he will fall before your very eyes. Jesus Christ is the example and the high standard that you and I are to exemplify. Amen? And the Lord says, if you will follow his example, if you'll follow him and not man, you're going to be okay. If you'll follow his example of serving, if you'll humble yourself, which goes against the tide of our self-absorbed society. And me, at times, I can be so selfish. And don't look at me like y'all not selfish. Because you're human. But if we will do what God tells us to do, if we will do what the Word of God teaches us, if Jesus said we will be blessed if we serve. How many of you have found that to be true? You're blessed when you serve, right? I love it when I can serve and do something behind the scenes. I'm a person that would much rather be behind the scenes and not letting nobody know what I'm doing. You just tell me what to do. I would rather you tell me what to do, and then I can go ahead and do it. I like that, you know? I have no trouble with that. Listen, we need to understand something here. Our man-made titles, okay, they mean nothing. They do not exempt us or put us on a pedestal in any way that says, it is beneath me to serve you. If the Lord taught us that true greatness in His kingdom comes from serving, we should listen and obey. In fact, He tells us in Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you will be what? Your servant, right? As a leader, you are called to serve and show others how to serve. You have a great responsibility as a leader and a child of God. Whether you be a teacher, a deacon, a trustee, a secretary, a treasurer, whether you be a doctor, whether you be a lawyer, whether you be a CEO of a great company or the president of the United States, whether you are a governor or a mayor, whether you are a king, a queen, an ambassador, a judge, or whether you be a missionary, or whether you be in law enforcement. And the list could go on and on and on. Jesus knew who He was and that He possessed all power and that He was going back to God. So He got up and He wrapped the towel around His waist and He did the job of a servant. You see, washing guests' feet was a job for a household servant. How many of you would like to have somebody washing your feet every time you come in the door? Tired as you may be, when you come home, you just want to sit down. And if you could have somebody rub your tired, aching, barking feet, wouldn't that be amazing? But this job was for a household servant, and Jesus, of all people, He took that towel, wrapped it around His waist as the lowliest slave would do at the time, and He would wash and He would dry their feet. Christ was the exact representation of God. Do you get that? He tells us that. And as He was in the world, so we should be. We are to follow His example, the example of our great God and Master, and exemplify Him not only in the church, but also in the world, because then He receives the glory and the honor. Now, I'm not preaching at you, because I tell you what, God has dealt with me, and this message has set on my heart, and I see my shortcomings and my failures, and I fall short of the glory of God. So I'm not standing up here preaching at you. You understand that, right? I'm just giving you what God's Word tells us. So sadly, though there are many in this church today, not in this church, but in the church, I would say within the church as a whole, in the body of Christ, and some of you may have seen this and have witnessed this with your own eyes today, who like the places of honor, the high places. They want to be seated on stage where they can be seen. They want to be seated and exalted above the rest. They want honor and they want a great title. How many of you know people like that? There are those who like to be called a deacon. Oh, deacon so-and-so, or elder so-and-so. Or they want that title, pastor and chief, large and in charge. They're so high and mighty in their thinking of themselves that they feel they should not serve anyone, but that you should serve them. They are like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, who loved attention. They loved pomp and praise and glory and only exalt themselves and then lead others astray. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have seen it and witnessed it? I've seen it with my own eyes. Many of them have entourages around them wherever they go. They're dressed in the finest of suits. They have big, beautiful homes, expensive cars, and extravagant lifestyles. They go on luxurious vacations at the expense of the true servants of God whom they are called to serve, yet they rob. Or even run them away from the church with their bullyish mannerisms and their hypocrisy because of their desire to be great. But let's see what Jesus says here. Let's go to Mark chapter 2, what he says about this. Mark chapter 10, I'm sorry. We'll look in verse 42. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 42. You there? Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now I want you to go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 'To the elders among you,' he says, 'I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that never fades away.'" Then look in verse 5 here. He's talking to the young men. "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Key verse, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in verse 6, he says, "So humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." You see, that's what Christ did. He humbled himself, didn't he? Go with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll see what I'm talking about. We'll start in verse 3 of chapter 2. I'll wait till you get there. It's a lengthy portion of scripture. You there? "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name,
that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself, gave up his rights to obey his Father and to serve. And like him, we should have that same attitude. He wants us to have that same attitude. He wants us to serve one another out of love and for what he has done for us. Why do you serve God? Why do you serve? Why do you do what you do? Is it because you love God? Is it because you love people? Is it because you want to do what God wants you to do? Or do you do it because you want to be exalted? We learn here that God will exalt us if we will do what he wants us to do, right? I'm not saying any of you in this room serves for exaltation purposes, because I know you very well. But I'm just telling you what God's word says. If we will serve God and do what he says to do with humility and serve one another, the world will see it. What did he tell us? They'll know us by our love, right? The church needs to serve one another and show the world what true love really is, what sacrificial love really is. That's what Christ did, right? He was an example. And as he was an example of God the Father, then we should be examples of Jesus Christ here on earth, right? He is our example. Now, questions to ask ourselves today. Are we willing to follow the example of Christ? Are we willing to serve to glorify God and not ourselves? Are we willing to serve behind the scenes, where no one sees what you're doing and you may not receive any sort of recognition? Are we willing even to serve those who are hard to love, knowing all about their life, their shortcomings, or even what they have done to you, or even what they have said about you, rumors they may have spread? Those of a different background, mind you? Or those with a different color of skin? Or how about those who don't smell so good? Or even those that don't agree with you? Boy, did we ever see a ruckus this week. I'm not going any further with that one. How about those who are considered social outcasts? Are those that just plain pluck your nerves? That's a Southern saying. How many of you had somebody just pluck your nerve? Are you willing to serve those kind of people? Are we willing to serve those kind of people? I tell you what. When the homeless start coming in, they smell. They don't look like us. They don't dress like us. When we see the prostitutes on the road and they start coming in and God starts changing their hearts, they're not going to look like us. They're not going to act like us. Remember whose feet Jesus washed. I want to take you back to that portion of Scripture. Remember whose feet he washed? The feet of a tax collector, for one. A hated man in that society. How about two brothers that argued over who was going to be greatest in his kingdom? They could care less what was going on. They just wanted to be great in God's kingdom. They wanted to rule with him. One wanted to sit on the right and one wanted to sit on the left. Y'all remember that story, don't you? Or how about Peter? Remember what Peter did? Peter denied Christ three times. How about Judas? Yes, he washed the feet of Judas, the one who betrayed him. Hard pill to swallow, isn't it? And he washed the disciples of those who would desert him in his hour of trial. These are the people that Jesus humbled himself and served. How about this one? Are we willing to serve even when it's not convenient? Christ was about to face the most difficult trial of his life. He's trying to have a last-minute meal with his disciples. He's trying to show them his love. He's been trying to tell them that he was going to die and he was leaving this earth. And they still did not get it. Yet he took the time to show great love and to humble himself, even in the hours before it was time for him to go to the cross and to be treated like a piece of meat, beaten and blundered. What an example of inconvenience, but God took the time and he served anyway. Have you ever noticed that when you serve God and his people first, seeking his kingdom first, even though you have something that's pressing or something that's very important to do, something has got to get done. But have you ever noticed that when you seek God's kingdom first and you serve him first and you do what he wants you to do first, that God is always faithful to you and he's going to make sure that your need is met? How many of you ever been had that happen to you before? Our lives are so busy, and we can get so inconvenienced. But God says, if you will seek my kingdom first, and you will do what I want you to do first, then all of these things are going to be added unto you, and I'm going to take care of your needs. Put people first, right? That's what it's all about. God telling us to put people first. Listen to what John 12 and 26 tells us. You can go there if you want to. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. How many of you know that to be true? For all of you who serve so faithfully here, if I ask you to stand up, 90% of this church would rise. Thank God for that. We love one another. We serve one another. We serve the community. We serve side by side. And do we ever have a good time doing it? There are times when you don't want to be here and you have so much to do and you're tired, you're dog tired. Some of you are here after jobs working all day long. And you come and you serve the community or you serve one another. But God is going to reward you for that. Food banks, food bank workers, student cafe on Wednesdays, Wednesday night ministry leaders, teachers, High Point leaders, those that preach, Ron and Ben and Fred and Raj. Anybody else I forget? I'll move on. Evangelism ministry, worship team. How about the sound booth? And I can't forget the van drivers. And if I've missed anybody else, please forgive me. I did not mean to. I had that on my list. That's right. Those that clean the church. Thank you. You are giving of yourself knowing that you will not get a return, especially from those that you serve, especially those in the community, right? But you will be rewarded, hallelujah, by the King of Kings one of these days. Don't lose heart or become weary in serving, because one of these days when you go through those pearly gates, he's going to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in into your master's happiness. I trusted you with this little thing. Now look what you get. He sees your service, and it is he who will reward you. And that is what matters.
not man's praise, but God's praise. We do things to be seen of God and of heaven because there are witnesses there that have gone before us. And the Lord is watching what we're doing. And He will reward us one of these days. He is going to exalt us just like God exalted His Son because He did what He wanted Him to do. Matthew 10:42 tells us this. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water, think about that, guys. Just a cup of cold water, a bottle of water to somebody on the street, a cup of hot chocolate, even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 25. And then we'll finish up. Matthew chapter 25. I was not going to read this whole portion of Scripture, but I'm going to do it now. We're going to begin in verse 31, and I'll read down to verse 40. This weekend, my aunt and uncle are pastors down the street here at Tree of Life Midtown. And she put a photo on Facebook of her husband who ran across a homeless man that they've known for a long time. He was laid out on a stoop somewhere. And he went over to check on him. He had one shoe on and one shoe off. And the reason he had one shoe on and one shoe off is because the shoes did not fit him. The one shoe fit him, and I think the other one did not. And he went to him because he was like, wanted to find out if he was okay, if he was living, if he was sick or something, what was wrong with him. And he went over to him and he asked him, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm just laying here to get warm in the sun." And he stooped down and he took the shoe and he tried to put it back on his foot, but it wasn't going to work because it was too small. He went to the church and he got him a pair of shoes that fit him. That's love. That's service. That's what God looks at. Now, can we all and do we all have those opportunities? No. But he had an opportunity, and when the opportunity arrived, he did what the Lord wanted him to do. He didn't have to do that. He could have passed right on by him. But he took care of him, and he showed him love, and he served him with the love of Jesus Christ. Look at starting in verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes, or might I add, shoes on your feet, and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." You see? Whatever you do unto someone else, you are doing it as unto God. Man, wouldn't that be something that we
that we would think about all the time when we're serving. Wouldn't that be something if we could just get that picture in our mind of Christ? That when I serve you, Robbie, man, I see Jesus, and I'm serving Jesus. Berta, Flossie, Frida, Wises, Goodmans, Esther, and many of you, many more who serve in the food bank. Wouldn't it be something that when you're there serving, all of a sudden you could see Christ? Oh, man. What a difference it might make sometimes when we're weary, oh, so weary. When we see Christ, we see that person on the street that needs a pair of shoes or somebody that needs something to eat, and we see Jesus and we go and we give to them what they need. God help us. God help. I want to be that way, don't you? I want to be God's hands and His feet to this community, and I believe we're doing a good job of it. And I believe God, He is going to bless every last one of us one of these days when we see Him face to face because of our faithfulness, because of your faithfulness. I'm not patting us on the back, but we're doing what God's Word says. Amen? And if we do what God's Word says, He already told us here in John chapter 13 that if you will do it, you will be blessed. I want to be blessed. How about you? Let's go out and be a blessing. Think about it beginning today when you leave here, even at home. Siblings, serving one another because you love God. Husbands and wives, serving one another because you love God. Just because you love God and because of what He's done for you. Not because of the reward you'll get, but because you love Him who was your example. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your Son, who was the greatest example that ever walked the face of this earth. I thank you, God, that you put on that human shell, Lord. I thank you, God, that you saw something in us that was worth saving, that was worth sending your prized possession, your one and only Son, to love us and to save us and to show us your love. Help us, God, to be doers of your word and not hearers only, Father. Your word says that we will be blessed if we will do what you say to do. God, and help us not to look at man, but to look at you as the example, Father. And to serve one another, Lord, in love, to humble ourselves, God, because you did not think it beneath yourself, who was the King of glory, who left all, who left servants and angels. You did not think it beneath yourself, Lord, to humble yourself and become like a slave, to wash the dirty feet of your disciples, Lord. Thank you for that. God, help us to be like Jesus, because as He was in the world, He exemplified you, God, and you tell us that we're to be like Jesus so that the world may see and the world may know. Lord, help us, God, to do what we're supposed to do and not look at anyone else saying they're not doing their part, but Lord, knowing that we will be held accountable for what we know to do. With all of our hearts, God, we love you. And we tell you we want to honor you today and the rest of our days, Lord. Thank you for this word. I pray, God, that you would continue to have it mull over in our hearts, Father, the rest of this week. And that we, God, will do what your word says to do, for we will be blessed. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today as they go out. God, I ask you to bless them and to keep them and to make your glorious face to shine upon them, Father. Use them as the salt and the light of the earth this week. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.